Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
There are three kinds of people in the world. People who make it happen, people who watch what happens, and people who wonder what happened. The Tommy Lasorda was claiming that, or made that claim in to baseball and business and, you know, all of that. But here's a few others that maybe aren't quite as poignant. Three kinds of people in this world: lazy people and hardworking. There are three types of people in this world: those who can count and those who can't. There are three kinds of people in this world, and I hate all of them. There are two kinds of people in this world: those who walk into a room and say, "There you are," and those who walk into a room and say, "Here I am." I've noticed, too, that there are three kinds of people in this world as it relates to sin. There are those who say they have none. There are those who know they do, but don't care or don't know, well, what to do about that. And then there are those who repent and walk with Christ. Our discussion this morning deals mostly with the latter, but I don't want you to forget or lose track of those first two, because there are entire groups of people that just operate or believe that they don't have any sin. I used to sit next to one down at Boeing when I worked at Boeing in St. Louis in the 90s and early 2000s. My lab partner, or the guy that sat right across from me, said to me on more than one occasion, "Well, maybe you need that kind of forgiveness. Maybe you're bad enough to have needed to be forgiven, but I'm not." And there are people in our churches who kind of sit here week after week after week. "I don't have any sin. I'm better than everybody outside the doors." It's an issue, isn't it? And that second group that is just like, I've got sin, but so do you, and I'm not going to deal with it, and you're dirty, and I'm dirty, I don't care, you know, or those who are like, "Hey, you know, let's just party on, man. Heaven doesn't want me, and hell's afraid I'll take over." That is a scary, scary place to be. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. "For whatsoever a man sows into his life, he'll also reap. Those who sow to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap life. Those who sow to the flesh will reap the rewards of the flesh. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." If you want freedom, true freedom is found in Christ Jesus and His sacrifice. I don't know how many of you know all that much about me. Some of you know me a little better than others, and some of you are kind of like, "Who is this guy? He doesn't look like Michael." And Michael, we love you, and, you know, hope you and your family are having a great time, and I so appreciate him and everything that he does. But just a little bit about me. I'm the manager out at Mississippi Valley Christian Service Camp. You probably know that part. I preached in Chambersburg a few years ago, and then over in Bowling Green, Missouri. So I've kind of been in the area, but I'm certainly not from here. My dad was Air Force. I was born in North Dakota, traveled all over the world, ended up in southeast Idaho, which is near where he met my mother, but not exactly the same town. And they raised me in a Christian home, a very moral home. I was the guy who had to have his parents take him to the PG movies. I was the guy who, wasn't out after the streetlights. Our home was fairly strict. And I chafed at that very much. And by the time I was 14 or 15 years old, I had given up on all of it, chucked it. They couldn't get me to go to church, couldn't keep me home. And it wasn't a good life, and it is not something I'm advocating anybody ever do. It's a dumb thing. I joined the Navy when I was, when I was 17 years old, reported the day after Christmas when I was 18, and went on to live what you would expect. But here's why I tell you all that. Not so you know anything more about me, although now you do. It's to say this. You know, I grew up in church at least three times a week. Knew the scripture, heard the stories, knew where the answers lied, knew that they were right. There has never been a moment in my life that I didn't think that the Bible was right and that the people in the church were saying the right things and doing the right things. I just didn't want to have anything to do with it because it wasn't fun or what I thought was fun. But I remember distinctly on many, many occasions being keenly aware that I was trapped. That the sin that I was so, with which I was so easily entangled, the things that I was attracted to sin-wise, if that thought came in my head or that person came through my door, I knew it was going to happen. I had no power to stop that sin. I wasn't out robbing banks, please don't, you know. But I knew that I had no power to overcome that sin, and I remember just thinking, oh my, this is horrible. And just being keenly aware of exactly how enslaved I was. And now I've been doing ministry for a while now, and I've realized one other thing, that most people, when they are honest, when everything is stripped away, when they've had a bad thing happen in their life and they're down to core one, most people will admit that, yeah, I understand the same thing. I know what it's like to be enslaved to sin. Now, maybe your sin wasn't as heinous as mine, but let me tell you this. Let's assume that you and I were standing on the coastline in California somewhere, and we decided that we were going to have a swimming race to Hawaii. Now, one of us is going to make it a little farther than the other, but neither one of us are going to make it all the way, are we? And you know, in regards to God's righteousness, it's the same thing. Some of you might be able to be more moral than others, but none of it is going to stack up to the kind of righteousness that you need to be okay or right with God. None of it. I mean, as a matter of fact, the Bible declares it, your righteousness is just like filthy rags. So, I check on you. We've got the story up to the place where I'm in the Navy and I'm a bad dude, whatever. Things are going wrong. I check onto my ship, shiny new haircut, first command, wanting to make a good impression. I walk into my lab and the guy starts talking to me as my chief, my boss, an E7, Ronald Flock is his name. I'm still friends with him on Facebook. Chief Flock talks to me about where I'm from. He's from Washington, which is next to Idaho, if you don't know that part of the country. So we're like, yeah, we're Pacific Northwesterners. Yoo-hoo! You know, we start talking. And anyway, we get done with the conversation. It gets quiet. He gets serious. He looks me in the face and says, so, what's your relationship like with Jesus Christ? Now, what I left out of the part about joining the Navy is the reason I did it was they were the first people to ask. I just wanted to get out of there, get away from all that church stuff, get away from my family, get away from the recommendations, get away from God, and go out and do what sailors do, and here I am. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't get away from these people. You know, I want to encourage you. If God's nudging you to talk to that kid or that person, speak up. It changed. I mean, over the next course, it took a year and a half or 2 years. But eventually God got a hold of me and turned me around and changed me. And this is the point of this whole story. I didn't have any power to overcome that sin before he got a hold of me. And now I do. And so do you if Jesus Christ lives and dwells within you and the Holy Spirit is residing in your lives. There is freedom in Jesus Christ. You do not have to be enslaved to your sin. You do not have to be enslaved to your sin. And I'll tell you this, I had just enough church in me, I think, to be miserable while I was doing all those things, but not enough church to get me out. Because it's not church. What do we need? Christ. But there is a level of participation required on our part. Mark 7, 20 through 23 says, "And he said," Jesus, "what comes out of a person is what defiles him. From within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God." Now, some of you are not going to like me anymore after I read that verse, and I'm sorry, but I remember something from the Old Testament. You know how many times God called his people to say things that didn't make sense and made them look foolish? All the time, right? You know, there's a prophet in the Old Testament that God tells to go out and get a shiny new belt. And it goes all the way around him, and it has some value to it, and it's bright and clean, and everybody notices it, and they see him, and they're like, "Hey, what's the deal with your shiny new belt, man of God? Aren't you supposed to be all poor and stuff?" And they wander around. He walks around the city with this belt, showing it off. And then God tells him, "I want you to take that belt and go down to the river, and I want you to get it as filthy and mucked up as you can." And he does. And he says, "Now I want you to bury it." And I'll tell you, the first time I read that, I was like, "What in the world is this whole thing about?" But he goes on to explain it, because God tells him after a period of time to go down and get that belt again. And he tells him it's a picture of Israel. It's a picture of you and me. It's a picture of how God takes us out of the world, makes us bright and shiny and new and perfect, and gives us more value in building us into something amazing. And then we run down to the river and get it all mucked up. And we get it all dirty, and then what do we try to do? We try to hide it. Now, how many of you know it doesn't stay hidden? Eventually, somebody catches you, or they know and they're not saying, because there is no sin that doesn't get found out. Now, it may not get found out this side of the grave, but it will on that. We can't hide it. And so God tells Ezekiel to go down and get this belt that's dirty and been hiding in the mud and put it back on and go into town with it. And everybody who comes to him, he is to say to them, when they ask him, "Why are you wearing that dirty old belt?" He is to say to them, "The things that you are doing, the covetousness, the adultery, the immorality, these things that you are involved in, they're dragging your nation and your person into the mud and destroying it, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Jesus says, John 14:15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Peter says, and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than man." 1 Peter 1:14, "Be as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance." 1 John 5:3, For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commands are not burdensome. Psalm 119:30. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I have set your rules before me. And we could go on and on and on and on, over and over. God tells us there is a level of participation required in our lives. Now, the good news is that He gives us the power to overcome that. Amen? He gives us the power to operate and to walk in newness of life. And I want to tell you right now, I'm standing here saying these things with all fear and humility, knowing that I am unworthy and sinful and am the last person in the world that should be calling you out on your sin because mine is nasty, right? Thank God for His mercy and His grace, without which none of us would be here. But please also don't fall into the trap of self-righteousness. You remember the first group? The group says, I have no sin. That's all it is. Self-righteousness and justification. We're celebrating Memorial Day, and Larry shared, you know, this origin story with it, and he talked about the former slaves finding this mass grave. You know, the people who were involved with that thought they were doing the right thing. They justified it. We can justify just about anything, can't we? Including saying that an entire race of people are not human. Unless you think I'm preaching at someone 100 and however many years ago. We do the same thing in our world. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. The first group says, I have no sin. God says, we all have sin. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But that you can't take that into the next camp and say, well, we all have sin, therefore it doesn't matter. I can do whatever I want. Or to look at somebody else and say, well, my sin's not as bad as his sin. We're kind of masters of that. Well, yeah, you know, I'm basically good. I haven't killed anybody today. But Jesus says something else, doesn't He? You've heard it said, thou shalt not murder. But I tell you, if you have hate in your heart towards your brother, you're guilty of murder. You've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I'm telling you, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you're guilty. You see, we can't go there. We can't be like, well, it doesn't matter. I'm okay. Because we're not. None of us will be able to swim all the way to Hawaii. And then there's this third group who repent and walk with Christ. They put off the old self. They put on the new self. They allow God to renew the spirit of their minds. Those who repent and walk with Christ put off their old self. You know, the word repentance, at least the root word of the word that Paul chose to use for repentance and all of that, was kind of an action in marching. Military term, somewhat, where, you know, the soldier's marching along and he's keeping his beat, you know, and he's marching in front of the door where Paul's imprisoned inside, and the guy's all in his regalia, in his uniform, and he's marching back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Well, this stopped when it's the end of his beat, and he realizes he can't go that way any longer, and he turns around and he goes this way. We called that either an about face or a to-the-rear march. They called it repent. I'm headed this way. Now I stop and head back this way. Because you're not going to get away from the sin if you stay in it. You have to get away from it. You have to put off your old self. And not just once. Paul says, I die how many times?
Daily.
Fred Craddock, in an address to ministers, caught the practical implications of this in Living for Christ. He says, you know what? We think living for Christ is like going to the bank, getting everything out, $1,000, and taking it to God and giving it to Him and saying, here, have it all, in this one grand gesture. He said, well, it's not really like that. It's more like taking all that $1,000 out of the bank and cashing it in for nickels and dimes and quarters, and then walking through life, and every time you come across somebody who needs a glass of water, every time you come across somebody who needs a kind word, every time you come across somebody who needs stood up for, every time you come across somebody who needs some help, every time God has called you to speak the truth in love, every time God has called you to teach a Sunday school class or go down to the park and gather kids together and give them candy and tell them about Jesus, every time God has called you to do that, it's like taking a nickel or a dime or a quarter out of that fund and giving it to Him 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 and giving it to Him. And putting off your old self is like that. Sometimes that old self tries to get back up on your shoulders, does it not? And you want to run things the way you used to run things. I'm from the West. We deal with conflict differently than people here. And I'm not saying that people don't get in fights and arguments here, but I'm talking, you know, kids that I went to school with, if you hadn't been in 100 fights by the time you're in eighth grade, well, you're just not a man. That's just the way it was out there. I'm not saying I'm like that. I'm just saying that that old self sometimes kind of wants to come back and say, oh yeah, you think I'm doing it the wrong way? Well, blah, 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 you know. But how far does that get you? Instead, we respond in Christ-like love and compassion and humility, realizing that sometimes I make mistakes. Put off your old self. Ephesians 4:23 says this, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, in 24, and put on your new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. If you want to be fixed, you want to be resurrected, if you want to be free from sin, where does sin start? In our mind, with a thought, or an impression, or an emotion, or a desire. And if we want to be free from that sin, after we've turned, repented, and walked away from it, our minds have got to change. And our minds change when we agree with the Word of God. We can't agree with the Word of God if we don't, what? Read and spend time with the Word of God. Because when you realize that God has called us to righteousness and holiness, not just for His own purposes, but for our good, it becomes easier. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Someone once said, attitude is everything. People with great attitudes will succeed, and those with negative attitudes will fail. And isn't that true? I mean, some people with a negative attitude get by no matter what. But for the most part, you can talk yourself out of doing anything, can't you? But if your attitude is right and positive, you'll go farther. Viktor Frankl, a concentration camp survivor, said this, everything can be taken from a man but one thing, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's way. Now I want you to think about who said that and the circumstances he had found himself in, where everything is taken away, down to the wedding rings and the clothes. I'd agree, but I also say there's one other thing they can't take from you, and that's Jesus Christ. And then we put on our new self. And our new self has a look. Our new self is different. You know, the Bible talks about Christians being known by their love. That when we come into contact with other people who are on the path, when we're out away from here and we don't know anything about them, can't you recognize someone who's walking close with Christ when you are? Paul gives us a good picture of what it looks like to have been repented, to be being renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to be walking in faith and obedience to Christ. Therefore, this is verse 25, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you. Now, we're real good at getting rid of the big things, the externals, the things that people recognize, right? Most of us don't run around like public enemy number one, shooting cows from the back of a truck with a Tommy gun. Most of us don't operate like that, but malice. Do we always tell the truth? Do the things that come out of our mouth edify rather than tear down? Do we work hard with our hands so that God can give it to somebody else in need through us? Do we slander? Gossip? That part's not very fun. Let's just close that up. But we can't now that it's been out, right? Because the Word of God has a way of getting into our hearts and minds and changing and turning and making us more like Christ. And see, that's the good news. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your status. It doesn't matter what you've done or not done. God can do great things through you and can forgive your sin and can set you free. You do not have to be enslaved to sin one minute longer. Don't live that way. Amen? I've noticed that there are three kinds of people in the world. Those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who wonder what happened. But there's also those who say they have no sin. Scripture has established that we all do. Who have sinned but don't care. And that is a dangerous, dangerous place to be. And then there are those that you can be a part of. The invitation is to whosoever will, who repent, turn away from that sin, and walk with Christ.
Hi, this is Pastor Michael from First Christian Church. Thanks so much for giving of your time and joining us in the broadcast of the First Christian Church. We consider it an honor to serve you, and we are here for you. If there's anything that you need, prayer concerns, or if you'd just like to discuss perhaps something you heard in the sermon and maybe it triggered a thought in you, feel free to reach out to us. There are links on our website, www.fccpittsfield.org. We'd love to connect with you. God bless you, and again, have a wonderful week in Jesus.
Amen. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday School class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.